in to a Friday edition of the Nick Baugh Podcast. We made it, man. We made it through launch week. Has this been fun or what? I hope you guys have enjoyed this week as much as I enjoyed pumping out all that content for you. Everybody from Barrett Rood to Bo Rood to Kevin Kugler to Rob Stone. I had what I felt like was amazing conversations with all those guys. I hope you enjoyed getting a window into, you know, a little bit more of what Barrett Rood's like and what Bo Rood's like and what Kevin Kugler's like, what Rob Stone's like, because I'm excited for our guest today. I can't do anything in life without having this guy involved, Matthew Richard Schick, Matt Schick. People may know that we used to host a show together. Schick and Nick was arguably three of the greatest years of my life. Just was basically, I got paid to sit with Schick and laugh at everything he did. It was absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Do want to remind everybody before I set up Schick specifically here, download, subscribe, rate, and review the Nick Baugh Podcast. It's available anywhere you get your podcasts, literally anywhere. And the reviews, the ratings, all that stuff helps, guys. It really does. And I do want to give a big thank you to everyone that's taking the time out to listen and taking the time out to send me a tweet, to send me a Facebook message, to rate or subscribe. Like, I appreciate it, man. This has been, like I said, I'm taking a leap. I'm hopping onto this this journey, and I want you guys along the ride with me. I want you sitting shotgun with me for this thing, and the feedback's been overwhelming. So I mean this in all sincerity from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Thank you. But continue to make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review the Nick Baugh Podcast. All right, Matt Schick, you know who he is. This ton of fun. It's really a lot of fun on this conversation. I of course, we have our nonsense, right? we talk about kindergarten, preschool with our kids. We giggle about a bunch of different things. I mean, it's ridiculous. What was fun about this is we set up to where we're doing this via Skype. So like I could see Schick, I could see his face, he could see me. I feel like that added a layer to all of this. We are going to go through the entire Nebraska football schedule, game by game, give our prediction, win, loss. So you're going to get a football fix with this. But the other thing you're going to get is, I wanted to open up with Matt. I wanted to go back to 2012 when the Schick and Nick show was ending. I wanted to get into his mind of what his career path was like. He's changed jobs numerous times. He got deep, man. He really did. And you're going to really enjoy this. If you've been invested into Matt Schick and his career from Kearney to KETV to 1620 and now to ESPN, he kind of takes you through that whole time. And I heard stories even about Schick and Nick ending from him that I'd never heard before. Some really powerful stories. So, you know, we are surface level, silly elementary school humor. And then we also get like deep, really introspective analysis of our lives, our careers, all those things and everything in between. So Matt Schick, he's with ESPN. You see him on TV, you hear him on the radio a lot. He's doing a lot with the Four Letter Network and doing an unbelievable job. So without further ado, let's get to my conversation with the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Schick. So are we starting? Yeah. Are we just off and running? Are we doing this now? So for people that don't know, I am looking at Schick via Skype. I can see him. He can see me. Schick has a Schick and Nick Hardee's Go Big Red t-shirt on that we gave away once upon a yonder back in the Disney. And this is exciting. This is good. This is my first extended time seeing you without glasses, Mr. Kugler Vision.
How do I look?
You look good. Should we take pictures of each other with our phonetics?
Yeah, I'm doing that right now.
All right, here we go.
Tweet this out.
Pictures of each other. This is good. All right. So I'm excited for you to you've listened to the pod. You've been a fan of the pod for what? 2 days? 3 days? How many days has it been now since you've been a fan of the pod?
I've been on the Nick Baugh Podcast for a while now. And I just It's been a part of my daily life since I can remember.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's just has added a lot. And if, frankly, if you were to take it away from me, I don't know how I would live.
Oh, man. Now, do I want to start? I think I may want to start our conversation like I started with Barrett, presenting you the option, an opportunity to cuss. Shook, do you want to cuss? Everybody, people have been like, dude, more cussing. You got to cuss, man. Keep on cussing it up, man.
This is like satellite radio and a podcast. It's the same. Do it, man.
When is, okay, so for people that don't know, Shicky nor likey cussing, the last time you cussed was probably when, you think?
Oh, gosh.
Jim Kelly? Jim Kelly was with Bills?
I've got 4 young kids, so it was more recently than you probably think.
Oh, wow!
I mean, things will slip out every once in a while, or privately to Kelly every once in a while.
Oh,
but,
okay. I thought you were like...
Not in an argument. No, I don't mean that. I mean, like...
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's rare, and it's selective, but it's, you know, I try not to, and I feel such great shame when I do. But I did listen to your Barrett Rude pod was good. And that, you know, that was good.
I kind of felt like I was James Lipton in Inside the Actor's Studio with him. I was like, now, when you tackled him on 3rd and 14, how did you feel? And where was your mom at the time? That's how I felt.
In that season opener against Oklahoma State, and you saw that football on the turf, and you scooped, and then eventually scored. What was your motivation there as you held the football up for the fans in triumphant victory?
That's kind of how I felt at times with people. Now, Kevin Kugler, you had a little show called On Sportsmanlike Conduct. When you left that show, was there a part of your soul that was empty for a period of time? Like, that's how things have felt for me.
Kevin, that was the pinnacle, as we'd say, of sports talk radio. When you left that, how did you fill that void? Was there quiet nights of terror and grief? Like, nope, went to Beijing to call the Olympics.
It's like, I know. I love that. I was expecting me and him to be able to relate. Like, yeah, I had a hard time giving it up too. Yeah, he's like, I went to the Olympics to the redeem team. And I'm like, oh, yeah? I went and picked up Kobe's poopy. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened with me. Gosh. I'm starting to Keith sweat in here. This is not good. Hey, by the way, so you got 47 kids? Is that what we're up to now?
Yeah, that's
We're gonna go good with hunting. Like, say their names: Ricky, Tommy, what? Bobby, Billy, Tommy. Say it again: Ricky, Tommy, Bobby, Billy, Johnny, Willie, Tui, Doug.
I got one kid for every heart attack that I've had.
For every cuss word. One kid for every cuss word.
I got four.
But so Mava started preschool. And how is it for, I mean, to get in and out of this preschool, it's like the Pentagon. You got to have codes, apps with a thing. I mean, apparently Mava goes to Area 51 preschool is pretty much what this is. Is that normal?
It is. Yeah, it's getting there. Apparently, there have been some bad things that have happened, so we have to make sure. You know, it's kind of like with what happened, you know, getting on airplanes now. Now getting into preschools and other schools, like, you've got to have the cameras, you've got to have the button, the intercom. Like, it is Fort Knox. It's like how, you know, Memorial Stadium used to be.
But I feel like this whole time I'm waiting for... I know you'll remember every episode of Seinfeld. Remember when Jerry wouldn't let the guy into the apartment because he didn't recognize him? Because there had been I'm waiting for the time where, like, because they say, like, in the handbook, like, don't just let anyone in. I'm waiting for some parent, me to shut the door and be like, I'm sorry, I don't recognize you. I'm not going to let you Nick and let you. He's going to be standing there with like a 3-year-old. I'm like, I'm sorry, little Timmy. You're just, no, I don't recognize you. Yeah.
But no. We'll, you know what? We'll take the kid, but please hand me the kid.
Tell you what. Give me the kid. Let's act like nothing happened. You just walk away. How about that? I'm waiting
it
for
is
that, though.
One of those things like, yeah, you're standing in front of the camera and you're like, well, I didn't shave today. I hope they let me in. You know, this is. Hope they recognize. But we don't have that problem at the preschool because we've been going there for like 5 years.
You guys are
like our fourth kid. Like they give us, like we could, go in and use the teacher's restroom, the lounge. We can do whatever we want. We got carte blanche in that thing.
You got, and one thing that, so you, all your kids take the bus to school?
Three of the four take the bus. Porter,
the Jerome Bettis,
5-year-old.
Is it Jerome Bettis? Let's get it right.
Yep. They take the Jerome Bettis to school. They actually
Dad,
we drop.
Dad, what time is Jerome Bettis going to be here tomorrow? Like 8:15. Be ready.
By the way, Dad, who's Jerome Bettis?
Shut up, Cohen.
The Hall of Famer. Sweat through his Hall of Fame jacket. We drop them off at school, then they get off the bus in the afternoon. So, I mean, like the bus comes at 6:30 in the morning, 6:35, 6:40. We're walking down the stairs at that time. So that's like there's no reason for that. So, so we drop them off, and then they get off the bus in the afternoon at like 2:15 ish. And we're right there.
I mean,
there's nothing better than free transportation where you can just stand outside your house. It's like, Amazon dropping off your kids. Like, all right.
Amazon Prime for your kids. It's pretty much what we need. That's what we need right now. I tell you what, I could go for some Amazon Prime to take Mava to preschool right now. That'd be kind of nice.
It would be. It's a
tough,
challenge.
It is definitely
a challenge.
It is totally tough. It with this pod though, in talking to you specifically, it kind of felt like we used to break the rules of radio with how we were doing things, and now there are no rules. So it's kind of a weird feeling, like especially when you would come on Game Time, the whole thing was like, hey, man, we're not even staying on clock. We're going to just talk right through a break. Are we the biggest rebels ever? Yes. But now it's different. I don't feel as rebellious right now.
Yeah, no, this is like, we're going to go through a break and, there's no break. So we're not really doing anything. It's like, oh, look how fast I'm going on the Autobahn. It's like, okay. No speed limit. There's no. I'm jaywalking. It's a neighborhood. We don't feel as rebellious, but we would destroy the clock in radio. Whoa. Like, it was, Shane could never plan his ramen noodle breaks.
Never.
Because, there was, the commercials were just so screwed up. Like,
totally.
Sorry, Shane, can you combine the last three commercial breaks? You'll have a good 14-minute break coming up where you can go eat your lunch.
So, yeah, but it's not, we got Oprah as shit goes and closes the door. Look at this. I watched him stand up and go close the door. You worried about it? Oh, the kids are gone. Are you Kevin McAllister right now? Are you Kevin McAllister right now?
No, but I am the father. And I do need an extra large
cheese pizza just for me.
Cheese pizza. And one of those little refrigerators you have to open with a key.
Leave it on the doorstep and get the hell out of here.
Credit card, you got it.
Did you have a Talk Boy? I had a Talk Boy.
I did. In fact, I was cleaning out the garage the other day.
Can we talk about it? You clean out the garage. I feel like every time I talk to you, I'm like, yeah, I was cleaning out the garage the other day. A couple questions. How many garages do you own? How big are they? And do you do this every day? Continue with your comment.
When I say the other day, it was like 2 months ago. All right. So it was the other day is very open ended. It could have been 7 years ago. It's still the other day.
Yeah, the other day I was born.
The other day, remember that Revolutionary War the other day? the other day when we landed on the moon. You remember in Castaway the other day?
You remember when we were, remember the other day with Prohibition, how hard it was to get.
So right now we're doing a Kent Wagamon impression about
I don't even know what it is. Okay, sorry, I hijacked here.
But no, two of the kids are, I did see the Talk Boy. I haven't listened to the tape that I recorded from 20 years ago.
I bet it's pretty good.
Still in there. Two of the kids are home because, you know, they do the staggered start for kindergartners.
Ah.
So the first week, they go one day that first week so that they're not overwhelmed with 20 other kids. So he's in there with like six other kids the first day. Doesn't go the rest of the week.
Really?
And then he goes next week. Yeah, then he's,
like
then he's
that.
Good to go. Yeah. Yeah.
That is fantastic. Could use a
staggered start. And
we need adult staggered starts, right? I mean, right? I
that's what college football kind of is. You know, you got some people in week zero.
Hey.
You know what? We'll throw you guys on Thursday night. We'll throw you guys on Friday night. And then we'll get going on Saturday.
Hey.
Staggered start.
How about Michael Irvin and how much he lost his mind at that? Have you ever? Even Jason Peter was like, bro, back her down a little bit. Have you ever seen anything like
back
that?
Back it down a notch. You understand that you are no longer playing, right? You are not allowed.
And it lasted, the crunkness of it lasted about 13 seconds too long. Like you're like, you thought, oh, okay, he's going there. And he's still going there. And he's still going there. Oh, Michael Irvin.
Man. Just sweating and yelling and
what was that? I feel like it was like a Panera bread. Was that a Panera bread?
he had just walked out of a Runza, like he was just like yeah. Like what are you doing? It's like I don't remember anyone getting that fired up at the, you know, the Alamo Bowl Riverwalk pregame between Nebraska and Michigan State. I don't remember that.
Oh, man, that was just.
Lord, back it down. They're a terrible team.
You have made me. Now I remember that this is from 2009 to 2012. I just had just tears on my face, sweat on my body. You got me. God, Matt. I just showered before I came here. I feel all clean.
Yeah.
I got the cologne going, and I just stink now. Smell like tears
and sweat. You have to go back to shower didn't take.
It's not
good at
all.
You got to do it again.
It's not good.
Do it again.
But what have you thought of the podcast so far? Has it been pretty good? Kooks, I got Kooks to kind of open up, man.
Kooks was good. I liked listening to Kooks. He had a lot. What is that spittle? Because I said Kooks four times.
Yes. By the way, how do you spell Kooks? I just do you go O? I go U. I go KUGS. I see other.
Yeah, that's
go,
like that's like Kugs. like with Tom Luginbill, like it's LUGINBILL. We call him Lugs. I'm like, I'm not doing Lugs. LOOGS.
Okay. All right, dude, I'll note that. I'll make a note.
You know, that was good. He opened up to you like Bill Moose. I mean, it was,
you know,
it was pretty good.
I had some help with my Bill Moose questions. We've told that story, right? People know that when I had Bill Moose on the show, you wrote every question I asked him. Did you not? I go, hey, man, having Bill Moose on the show tomorrow. Any advice? Thanks. This is classic chick. You proceeded to write me 10 questions. You were like, yeah, just a starting point if you want to go there. And I was like, all right, let's just use this. I had my opening joke to him about Clay Thompson, calmed him down, like the way you framed the Scott Frost question. And then the beauty of it was everybody's like, finally, a real journalist willing to ask the tough questions. I was like, yep.
I'm going back. So I looked at my phone. I typed in Moose, and thank you know, here, I'll just
hold it up to Skype, okay? Doc. Skype that mug,
so
Doc.
This is Skype. So this is October 30th, 2017. So this is kind of like your your question stuff.
Yeah, and it's like you like the 3-point shot, and it's like, yeah, Nick, I put that on the maybe questions.
So I said, I think I even suggested like opening up with the Klay Thompson story.
You did? No, you look, I mean,
so here's this. Ready? This is the start.
Yeah.
My goodness, how much blue is there?
I copied and pasted, and you cut.
That's like,
look at that. Look at
jock. The jock asked the nerd for help, and the nerd was like, "Oh, if I do this, he'll be my friend."
Yeah.
That's absurd.
That is crazy. But you helped me out.
No, but well, that's like the coach saying, "I don't want to have to play. I'm not going to play." So you throw yourself in front of traffic for the team here, and good luck.
Did it feel like, for the first time ever, did you feel like a Saturday Night Live writer or like where you wrote a great sketch, all the great jokes, and then Sandler goes out there and delivers it? People are like, Sandler's hilarious. And you're behind the scenes like, it's me, dude. It's me.
Like Conan O'Brien was hardly in any sketches, but he was like writing everything. No, but I mean, I was proud of you that day. You made ESPN.com.
Yep.
You did, you were getting more pub than me, and I work here, so it's good.
Oh, God. All right, I do want to get into a little bit of colegio football, as I think what people call it at the tailgate these days.
Not true.
And then we're going to go game by game and predict every game for Nebraska this season. So you need to get ready for that. I prepped you on that, so don't give me some crap like, oh man, I wasn't ready for this. I didn't know this was coming. I told you this was coming. All right.
All right. Well, way to reveal the fact that this is not spontaneous. I didn't know you were going to do this. All right, let's give it a whirl.
All right, let's go. I'm ready for this. You were always obsessed with the idea of not letting people know that something had been like taped beforehand. Like, would you be mad now if I told people what time and what date we were taping this? Is that going to make you uncomfortable?
Yeah, I mean, this should be live. This should be live. when people are listening, it's happening live.
Okay.
That's what it should be. Like, we used to on Chick and Nick, tape. Like, Shane would be like, sorry, we can only get Bill Snyder Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. I was like, all right, you're going to be in studio? I'll call in. I would call in, do the interview myself, and then have Shane cut up the answers. And then we would ask the questions live on the air and then play each answer to make sure it was live.
Ridiculous. Shane,
absurd.
Absurd. Shane was ready to kill you. Do you regret that at all? Do you stand by that?
I regret a lot of things, but none of which involve Shane. I asked
making
Shane
work.
Funny thing is, I sent Shane a message the other night on Twitter because I was asking him, hey, do you have like old Chick and Nick like segments? Because I've heard you've got the segments. And so I sent him this. Here's the first thing he sent me.
It says, Matt.
That's all it says. That's all it says. So he is he was a beauty.
Playing drops
from
our show.
He appreciated me when I was gone.
Yeah,
oh yeah. He's still playing drops from our show.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Like come on, man. Like, you know, you got plenty of time to get your own stuff. Warm up your ramen and get your own vocal.
They're now three shows removed. It was Gary and Jason, then it was Gary and DB, and now it's DB and Severe. So there should be, like, when you get three shows removed, the drops from the show four shows ago have to just delete themselves, right?
It's funny. Yeah, it has to. It's funny. Severe texted me the other day. He's like, hey, do you mind if I steal this certain bit? And he was referencing something. I couldn't even remember. I'm like, yeah, I think, yeah, sure, go ahead. Like, can we? I don't remember that, so
okay.
Go ahead. But it must have, like, we just did, you know, I mean, let's be honest, Nick, we did thousands and thousands of things. It just gets lost. It's like saying, you know, Will Ferrell, remember that skit? No, we don't.
I don't remember that at all. I don't remember
those things. But how do you feel? I mean, you were replaced by Gary Sharp. How do you feel about that?
I feel great about it. I feel great about it. I think clearly the one thing that that matters is to have some people that are identifiable in the market continue to stay on the station. You bring Severe over. He's, I don't know if people remember, a show called Unsportsmanlike Conduct. And then obviously people know Garrett, so it's good. I mean, it's
I think it's as seamless a thing as you could ever do. Like it's and Gary's built for that, right? Like you were awful at the solo.
Horrendous. Be honest, can I put you on the Budweiser hot seat on a variety of things here? When you heard I was doing a solo show, were you like, that has no chance, my friends? No chance in France.
I didn't think it had no chance, but here's the backstory of that, is when our show got broken up.
Yep. Adair, former GM.
I know. Yeah. Adair, Mr. Andy, do that. That's why we have to be on Skype. He's the reason we have to be on Skype. I could have been sitting with you during a radio show this morning. Instead, we're on Skype and stuff.
We'd be teasing our Husker pump up song for the 2019 season. You'd be like, geez, these guys are like, oh god, they're still doing this.
Oh geez, are they going to choose Taylor Swift this year?
What are they going to do? Old Town Road. I bet it'll be Old Town Road. You dang right it will. It would have been, right?
We would have set it up. We didn't want it to be so cliche. We're going to come up with something original. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Old Husker Road.
I want to take Scott Frost down to Old Town Road and run till we can't no more. That's what it would have been.
It would have been good. I'm trying to go back to... Oh, so going back to your question about your show, when our show was coming to an end and my, quote, Aunt Betty died and all those stories that we could
My dog gave my homework, so I got to go to Charlotte. Yeah, that's what.
I had to go to Charlotte. when that was happening, our GM at the time had said, hey, if this stuff happens, this goes this way, you know, I'm thinking about putting you in that solo show in the afternoon if we can get this to happen or this to happen, whatever. Wound up, none of that stuff happened. I think if Kevin had stayed, he was thinking of having me be the solo show.
So you would have done the midday?
And then I think, yes, and I think they wanted you and
Jason. Black and blue in the morning.
Jason Peter in the morning. That's right. Black and blue in the morning, whatever, which would have been your face.
He would have punched me. You know who I'm good friends with now is Jason. I love Jason. That guy is so supportive of me. Like, I love that guy, dude. He's
great.
The best. But yeah. So.
Well, all right. So it didn't happen. But my point of bringing up this story was to say that when he presented that to me as an option, if such and such happens, my initial reaction was, I don't want to do that. And so I was kind of reflecting my thoughts about me onto you when you were going to do it. Going, oh my God.
Does he know? That's how I felt about Gary when they were moving Gary to solo. I was like, Gary, let me tell you, Doug, don't do it, Merritt. Don't you do it.
Well, Gary, Gary's just perfect for it because he did Sports Nightly for years. I mean, when I was working in Kearney, Nebraska for a few years, I would listen to Sports Nightly at night, and he was, well, not in the day, it's Sports Nightly.
I used to listen to Sports Nightly in the morning, and I used to listen to Good Morning America at night, and it was...
When they had that podcast, Sports Nightly, he was great, and so I'm excited for him. I think moving Severe back is awesome, and I think it's, you know, it's great. I mean, the shows have changed, but the faces have kind of remained the
same.
Isn't that
crazy?
It's like Mark D'Antonio, like we're going to reshuffle the coaching deck here. But all the coaches are going to be the same. We're just going to have new roles.
Different coordinated, different positions. It's so interesting to think, and I know you and I have gone back to 2012 a lot, but I'll never forget that. You know, I walked out of Andy's office, our GM at the time, and we were negotiating our contract, went back and forth. I said, how about $1 million? He said, get out of my office. I said, okay. He said, how about $1 million? I said, how about $1 million? He said, how about 10? I said, you got yourself a deal. I'll sign it. I said, but I remember saying like, okay, yeah, just, you know, lock up Schick and we're good to go. And he looked at me and said, you can't control that. This is a contract between me and you. And I was like, what did you say to me? And why did you say it? But I was shocked.
This is the first I've heard of that conversation about you saying that and him saying that. Like, yeah, and that's not a surprise.
And then I remember I walked downstairs back into the studio, and I must have, like, you must have been able to read me like a book, because the second I walked in, you went, "What happened? What?" And I was like, "No, I don't know, man." And so we knew. Oh yeah. My God, you, and that was, I was so naive. I was like, I don't know what's going on. And he said, oh my God, I think they might try to break up the show. And I was just, it started then like the longest goodbye for a radio show of all time. But yeah, it was there are moments in your career. You remember, I remember walking out of that of his office being like, oh my God, what? To this day, it still is like the most heart. It was like one of the more heartbreaking meetings I've ever had. It was like, no way, man. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember. And again, if people listening to your podcast don't remember Schick and Nick or never listen to that show, then this is kind of like, what are they talking about? But it kind of goes into the, everyone can relate to uncertainty about a job, mm-hmm. or you've given up stuff to do something and, oh, this is going to fall through. Whether it's a relationship or a job, I mean, everything is, you can relate to it. But I remember driving home. I knew there had been some speculation about it, and there was just uncertainty. And I was driving home from the show, and I remember calling Neil, our program director at the time, and I said, Neil, I've got, you know, my wife is... you know, she's 8 months pregnant here. I need to, you know, I got a family here. You know that. Yep. I know you love my family, but like, please, I need you to be honest with me, Neil. What are you hearing? And I asked him a question of something to the effect of, do I need to start making other plans or something like that? And his answer was very clear, to the tune of yes. Whatever answer he was, he tried to put it on lightly, but what his answer was, without saying many words, was Schick and Nick is probably going to come to an end. So I remember going into the house in Elkhorn where we lived, looking at my wife and going, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm really, really nervous about this. And here she is, big baby bump, and we're about to welcome our second child into the world. So, like, okay, what's going to happen? And then about, I guess it was maybe a few weeks to a month later or so, we are, her water didn't break, but we thought she might be going into labor, but we weren't sure. Her doctor was in Lincoln, so we drove to Lincoln. But that morning, I also had a meeting scheduled with our GM. And for clarity, it was the first time I was going to be face-to-face with him about our show.
Okay.
And so we're driving to Lincoln. You know, she's having some contractions, but might be a false alarm. We're not sure. We go into the hospital room. This is like either late at night or very early in the morning. And we still had a radio show that day. And so she's getting checked out, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything. I said, Kelly, I'm going to, if you don't mind, since it's nothing and you're going to be here for a while, I'm going to go back and do the show because I need to have that meeting. He's like, what? Okay. And I'm just like, this is not like the last thing you want to do is leave your wife at
no
a
doubt.
Room so you can do it. But it was because of that meeting. So it was that day. And I think we taped an interview with Lou Holtz or something that day, something like that. And
it was Barack Obama.
Back.
Yeah, it was Barack Obama. I think
I think it was Michael Jordan. We had him on. It was one of those last shows.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was somebody else.
Yeah, it was Will Ferrell, then Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's right.
So I went back to the studio, did the show, and then it was right after the show that I had the meeting with our general manager, Andy, at the time. And I remember sitting down with him, and I just said, can you commit to Schick and Nick? Can you commit to our show? And his answer was, I can't. And I was like, wow. And it's like, our ratings are good, you know, like with like the younger demographic, you understand, like those people are going to get older. You like, you know that, right? Like you want to get them young.
Right.
And I knew we skewed younger, but you know, we have a following here and I felt so passionate about it, but there was no moving him. From what I had heard, he wanted a former Husker on the air, something like that. Like he wanted it more football or sports centric. So I remember driving afterwards, getting a call from Kelly after I had left the station saying, this is real. We're going to have a baby here in a couple hours. Like they've decided like this, I'm contracting, whatever. And I think I was in tears. I can't really remember it, but I just remember going, what am I, what is Tatum, who we didn't know, know at the time, but what are we welcoming my next child into the world in? What kind of world? There's so much uncertainty. And so, you know, Tatum's born, and that whole 2 or 3 days we're in the hospital was, you know, the biggest resentment about the show ending isn't necessarily the show ending. It's about those two or three days that I didn't get to really enjoy my daughter being born as much because I was so consumed with my job and the show and my uncertainty about what we were welcoming into. And so, you know, I remember bits and pieces about her birth and all those things, but what should have been one of the greatest days of my life was one of the most awkward and uncomfortable times, not because all I could think about was, how am I going to support this family if I don't have the show? Where am I going to go? Where are we going to move? What's going to happen? I can't go back to TV right now. So it was that kind of plan that no one knew listening to our show. Like, we kept everything secret. I never really told you any of that stuff.
I've never heard this before.
And so I,
because we tried to,
you know, Kelly and I still talk about that.
We tried to laugh, like people that listened during that time, we tried to always give people 3 hours of what the show was. We always tried to laugh. We always tried. I don't think people knew that kind of stuff was happening behind the scenes. We knew when to turn up, you know, when there's that, the red light came on, when the mic turned on, we snapped back into it. But I've never heard that story. So it literally was, you went from the meeting of Andy telling you, I'm not going to commit, straight to the hospital.
She was born later that day.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
It was, certainly tons of the cliched mixed emotions with that day. And I remember, you know, texting people and stuff, and Kelly's there with Tatum, and I'm kind of, you know, texting with folks about my future or what's going to happen. And it just was not what I had hoped that few days would be. But obviously it wound up, you know, a couple months later, we're out in Charlotte and ESPN and all that stuff. But for that, just not knowing how, look, you're the breadwinner, right? Yeah. Or whether you are or you're not, you're responsible for supporting your family. And I'm like, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you start throwing out lifelines and wind up coming to ESPN. But there was that time, you know, it alleviated a little bit when I found out I had unsportsmanlike conduct. Like, they were going to pair me with Michael, which I liked because I like Michael. I didn't like it because I didn't want to be in that building and not do the show with you.
Sure, but it that'd have been awkward.
Weird. Like, we were negotiating our own separate stuff, but not really telling each other everything that was going on because it just would be awkward.
Yeah, you're talking about me and you? Right.
So the fact that we kind of kept all that secret, I think, allowed for those last 2 or 3 months to be actually really good.
Yeah, because we tried to, it was almost like we, it's funny how that show, for that time, like it was, that show was an escape from reality for everyone. And I don't think we needed the show more than when it was ending, in a weird way. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a weird way, it was like this. We need these 3 hours to not think about the fact that this is ending, oddly enough, as bizarre as that sounds. But that's what it was like at the time. And because you've made big career moves. What? I mean, you left KTV to go to 1620. Then there was a lot into the 1620 to ESPN move. What do you think, what's guided you during that time? I mean, I've talked about like passions and different, you know, what, trying to really figure out what, hold a mirror up to myself. What are my habits? What do I like? All those things. What do I love? What about you? What was, I've stolen your line of, if you're not growing, you're dying, which I love. But what has been, take people into your mind when you've made these big career moves, what's been the guiding light for you?
Yeah, my faith in Christ has been huge, and just trying to know, you know, not necessarily where to go, but what comes first, right? You know, instead of pursuing worldly pursuits that'll never fill you up, pursue something that can fill you up regardless of your circumstances, because your circumstances are going to change. And if you're dependent on what you're doing or who you're pleasing or the role that you have, if you're dependent on everything else that the world provides for your happiness, you're never going to be happy, or there's always going to be something else. So there's always, you know, the money. Oh, we don't make enough.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the size of our house, it's not big enough. There's always going to be something else. And so my faith has been really important in terms of just seeking him and seeking that, so that I'm not so caught up in what everyone else wants. For instance, I remember when I was leaving the ABC affiliate in Kearney, Nebraska.
Yep.
I remember when I was leaving that station, and I had Omaha, I had Buffalo, and Wichita. There were three that were there. My wife now, we were dating at the time, and, you know, it wasn't a volatile relationship, but it was like we were long distance, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Right.
And so part of me was like, I think if I move to Buffalo, where I'm an hour away from some of my extended family, because we were born in Rochester, maybe I can just wipe this clean, and I'll just start over and just be done and just rewrite everything. And I remember being in the car driving back to the station one night, knowing I had a few options. And I remember going, God, please, I need some direction here, please. And just praying about, I just need some door to shut. And I need it to happen really soon, because I've got Omaha, KETV, they're waiting for an answer. And I've got this, I've got that. I'm not returning calls because I don't know what to do. And I'm telling you, within 30 seconds, the phone rings. And it's the Buffalo station. It's the sports director at the time, who is John Murphy, who's the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills now.
Okay.
He is a guy that I grew up listening to. It's him calling me to tell me that they've decided to eliminate the position that I was applying for.
Wow.
And they wanted me. I was going to be reunited with my sports director, who is in Kearney, who had gone to Buffalo.
Okay.
I was going to be reunited with him. I was going to be like either the number three guy there. He was, I think, the weekend guy, Jeff Russo at the time. And we were going to be reunited and do that. It was going to be great. I was going to get to cover the Buffalo Bills, my mm-hmm. childhood team. We're going to do that. And I was really considering that. Not only could I not, not only did that door close, it slammed shut and there was a brick wall. Like, sorry, you can't do it. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm going to Omaha. Like,
I'm gonna go to Omaha. Did you feel like if you'd went to Buffalo that would have been almost like the you and Kelly, that would probably been like, this is it for us?
It would have been over.
Yeah.
My whole life would have changed. It would have been over. I couldn't have done the long distance thing anymore. I would have just said, let's just be done. Because there was some uncertainty there. Instead, I get drawn, instead of 2 hours away from Lincoln, I'm 50 miles on the other side.
Yep.
Closer to her family. And I'm with KETV in Omaha, where the transition was easy. I didn't have to move across the country or anything. And I'm doing a job that, I mean, it took, you know, a week or two on the job to realize this is exactly where I need to be.
Yeah.
And it was a great job. And Kelly and I wound up getting married a few years later, probably five years later.
I was there. So. I drove by that park the other day. I told Kim, I was like, you know, I was like, Chick and Kelly got married there. She's like, really? I said, yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And it was, and so those kind of things where, look, when you're trying to apply for jobs where it's contingent on, like if you're doing TV or radio, it's contingent on what one person thinks, the news director, the program director, whoever that one decision maker is. So my guiding principle has been, I'm just going to honor God. And with whatever I do, and as long as that approval, I feel like that is there, if I'm striving for that, then everything else is going to fall into place. Mm-hmm. Like I can't try and please that guy. I can't try and please that woman or whatever it is. I'm just going to do what I can to be the best Christian that I can be. So that has certainly been a guiding principle for me. And it's, you know, think about the fact that Schick and Nick comes to an end. I'm like, what's going to happen? You know, how am I going to provide? I'm like, okay, who do I know? And wouldn't you know it, ESPNU in Charlotte is looking for somebody.
Amazing.
And I had a contact with Dari Noka, who we had been two ships passing in the night when he worked in Lincoln, and kind of got a foot in the door and put something together. And we were out there. We were out there within, you know, 2 months. So things there aren't a lot of accidents out there. There aren't a lot of them.
I think one of the things that was sometimes hard, like for me to leave the radio, what was hard was I'm a pleaser. I don't like to make people unhappy. I hate it when someone's mad at me. I just hate it. And I think one of the hardest things to do is to have those moments where you do have to be selfish. For lack, you know, you're selfish also with the thought of your family and providing for people and all those things. But everybody does hit a moment in their life where they do have to think about themselves. And I would say that of all, that was kind of that was uncomfortable for me for a couple of years here, or a couple of months here, I should say, as I was leaving 1620. Of all of a sudden, you're like, you know what? I want to do this. I know this isn't going to make this person happy, or this person happy. But that can be that was kind of a big get over the hump thing for me, was like, you know what? Yeah. This is I'm gonna do what I want to do for once.
Yeah. I remember when we started Chicken Nick, there was a point, I think it was within the first 6 months, that I had an initial interview with ESPN. Mm-hmm. And I auditioned for like an ESPN News anchor position or something. I might have finished second. It doesn't really matter if you're not first or last, but I didn't sell myself on the job, and I was more relieved when I didn't get that job. And I remember calling you saying, hey, you know, this isn't, it's not going to happen. But I also remember another time when we had done radio. I think we'd done it. I can't remember how long we had done it before, but Chicken Nick was doing pretty well, and John Schutz was leaving Channel 7.
Yeah.
And I had interviewed to go back to do that, and I was going to try and find a way to do both, and if I did, it just wasn't going to work. And so you think about trying to please people, you know, there was this expectation, you know, of me going back there to replace John.
Yeah.
And I remember interviewing, and I loved the news director at the time, Roseanne Shannon. Von Jones was the assistant news director at the time. Rob McCartney, Brandy. Like, I would have been on the set with some of my friends, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember having to choose, you know what? I like my life. I like what I'm doing right now. And I'm just going to have to say no to the people that might be expecting this. I remember walking in, taking myself out of the running for the job, and having this burden really lifted. And I remember telling Rob McCartney, and he was really disappointed because he was looking forward to kind of reuniting, as was I, I mean, it would have been great to be on the set with them 5 nights a week. But just saying yes to yourself, your quality of life, putting money in a distant second, third, and just focusing on what makes you happy. Like the Chicken Nick stuff was such a good quality of life, even outside the show. Like, it was so family conducive. It was, you know, just the holidays off, all of those things that it would have, it had to take breaking it up for it to go away.
Yeah.
Because the life was just too much fun, and the schedule was too good, and family was too supported time wise because of the show.
You, and I think you probably remember this. Do you, speaking of kind of being relieved or having to, I was relieved when this didn't happen. Do you remember when there was rumors that when Doc was fired, there were rumors Coach Altman was going to take the Nebraska job? And I remember telling you, because Coach Altman wanted me to go to Oregon with him. When Coach left Creighton and went to Oregon, Coach Altman wanted me to come with him there. He was like, bud, hey, Bob, we'll find something for you, bud, out there. You know, he wanted me to come with him. And I remember talking to you, basically saying, like, listen, if Coach Altman does, in fact, take the Nebraska job, I know he's going to ask me to join him, and I'm going to have a hard time saying no to that. And I remember you said, so that would mean the end of the Chicken Nick show. And I was like, I was like, yeah, I guess it would. Thank God it didn't happen, you know, because I would have been in a horrible spot. I'd have been like, I have to tell either Coach Altman no, or you No, it would have been terrible. Luckily, Coach Miles got hired. But you just bring that up where it's like sometimes you get – now, those are good problems to have where you have, like, two good options potentially. But, yeah, it's funny how those yep. situations get shut for a reason or open for a reason, you know?
Yeah, we didn't have to end it. We didn't have to leave it voluntarily because that would have been brutal. There's nothing totally. Worse than leaving than saying, you know, than leaving happiness and risking something. But you know, we weren't risking anything. We had to go because that, like we said, that one person
Isn't
said
that crazy?
No.
Yeah,
right?
One person
it's just,
said no.
It's just
right.
What, like one person, and again, not there's no resentment, there's no grudge or anything, but it's just a matter of fact. Like you, that person says, "I don't like this. It's over," and the ripple effect of that.
Yeah.
The ripple effect of that, I'm not doing ESPN. I probably don't have four kids because I, you know, no offense to 16, 20, I probably couldn't afford four kids there. You're likely maybe not doing Fox National stuff.
Totally.
You're probably not doing a Fox weekend show.
Totally.
You're certainly not doing a podcast right
no,
now.
No.
So it's like everything changed because of that. And you just gotta, you know, chaos is going to get thrown at you every single day. It's how do you respond to it? And, you know, we've responded pretty well.
All right. We're going to get to football in a second, but one last thing. And I want you to try to not be modest here. Because when people ever talk to me about, hey, how's Schick doing? Or what do you think? You know, if I see people around town or whatever, and they're like, he's doing good. I'm like, man, think about this now. Armageddon basically hit ESPN with layoffs and all those things. This dude has survived Armageddon. And thrived. You know what I mean? Like, not only did you just not get hit with a torpedo, you've elevated. Why? What do you? How do you explain it? What do you think it's been? Is it your versatility? Is it your creativity? Like, if you had to try to describe it, because I'm not surprised at all. But it's pretty amazing to have massive. This wasn't like kind of a few layoffs. This was massive, and you've grown. That's tough to do.
I will always, before I even say take any credit, I will always credit God's providence first, right? That's not to say I'm more important than anybody else, but there was something happened there because here's the deal: I was one of the lead faces of ESPNU studio production,
yep,
studio programming. After Dari left, I was essentially the lead guy. And ESPNU studio gets shut down, and I'm still there.
Yeah.
So that's it's hard to explain. I guess versatility is part of it. I think being likable.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like being the greatest guy because I'm certainly not. And I know there are people that don't like me, and that's fine. But I think at least treating people well serves you well.
Yep.
Right? Like if you work hard and treat people well, things will work out okay. And if you're competent at your job,
yeah.
Right? Like
right.
Like it doesn't, like, you know, Doc Sadler's the nicest guy. Eventually you're going to get fired anyway because
right.
It's just not working out. But if you can build some equity with people, with relationships, and then they give you a shot. My contract, the timing worked out well in that my contract was not up at the time the layoffs happened. Had the timing been any different, maybe it had been a 2-year instead of a 3-year deal or
okay.
something, and I was up, I'm not sure I'd be, I don't know. But my job shifted that day, and I knew going in that I was going to be okay because I'd been told I'd probably be okay. But you keep hearing the news, you keep getting texts from people who are at work that day, and I wasn't, about layoffs, and you certainly start to panic. I remember the call from my boss at work after all the layoffs had been completed that day or the next day, and just said, "Okay, obviously there's some bloodletting today. Obviously you're fine because we're talking right now. Your job is going to change. There's no more studio stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be shifting a lot more to play-by-play. So start working on your volleyball prep. Start working on, you know, different sports."
Right.
Like, okay, all right. So. You referenced something that I always go back to, like if you're not growing, you're dying. You're flatlining means you're dead. My visibility increased where, you know, College Football Live, I'm able to do that show a little bit more, a little more visible inside the company. doing more radio, doing more the podcast stuff with ESPN had started probably a year and a half before the layoffs hit. And so I'd already kind of gotten entrenched with some of the audio folks at ESPN. And then ESPN Radio said, hey, what do you think of doing, you know, this show? And so eventually, you know, I'm probably doing more radio now this fall than I am doing TV.
Right.
So whether it's National Signing Day, it's play by play, it's studio host, it's, you know, just do a bunch of different things. I think helps out, but I think it starts with, you know, treating people.
That's it.
Well, no matter who it is, like, you know, when we were at 1620, it didn't matter if you were the secretary or you were Neil Melkin. I always tried to treat someone like they were my equal, or if not above.
Yes.
And I think that helps a lot. And you're similar. I mean, look where you are. You and I said this when you left the radio, when you were going on to this and you did Fox Sports. It's, you got to be good at your job. That helps. But as long as you treat people well, you know, they ended our show, but you got rehired at 1620. You don't do that if you're a jerk store. Right. So that stuff is very important. It's really important.
Colin, because what you were saying that, like, Coward has a line that he says his dad always told him, like, 99% of the decisions about you will be made when you're not in the room. Be a good person.
That's great.
In that, like, it's a good little, Colin has a lot of the, like, just a good little thing to think about. And that's a good way to kind of put a bow on our, like, on that part of our conversation here of, like, think about all the conversations and decisions that are made about you when you're not in the room. And there's just, like, we could talk about a bunch of different things, but, like, being likable, being a good person just goes a long ways, man. It does.
Yeah. And it's not even about, you know, making sure your opinions are good or all this. It's like we always said, what's the quote? They don't remember what you said. They remember how you made them feel.
Right.
So, you know, bring some joy. You're either a life giver or a life taker. When you walk into a room, does the energy drain or does it increase? I know you, when you walk into a room, like, people just light up, right? Like, it's so, I, you know, I've, you're kind of that standard in that regard. And I try to be that way, but it's, you know, when you got four young kids and you're working and all this, it can be tough. It's something, sometimes you have to fake it.
Right.
Sometimes you have to pretend
something
to get to that place. Because if you don't, you know, if you don't shoot higher than you want to be,
no doubt,
you're probably going to wind up lower than you are, than you really are emotionally.
No doubt about it. God, that was good. There was a couple of those stories. This is amazing this week. Like, I don't mean to, like, you know, totally kiss the butt of the podcasting platform. I feel like I've learned things about people that I've never learned before with some of these conversations that I've had with you, Kevin, even little stuff with Barrett. Like, this has been amazing, man. This has been fun.
I honestly think when you think about the podcasting format, like, what do people lack right now? A lot of times it's someone to talk to. Right?
Oh, man.
Like it's time with somebody. What do we do now? Tweet, text. We're buried in our machines.
You're isolated. Yeah.
You're isolated. Yeah. You're communicating with people, but you're not investing in people. And so this kind of format, it's almost like a therapy couch.
Yeah.
Right. Where there's no time limit. I'm not being charged for it, so I don't need to hurry up and get my words out as quickly as possible.
Right.
Or else I'm going to have a bill when I walk out. And it's relationships, right? And so it's, you know, you ask certain questions and it makes you think, how often during the day or during a month are people asking me, hey, what happened here in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Or what did you learn? Or how did you grow from this? No, you're stuck in the, how do I get my kids to school? How do I get through this day so
right.
I can get to tomorrow and not blow up the house? Like it's different things where you can stop and talk for an hour or so and actually get into some relationship stuff.
No, sure. I love that's a good point. And I do think reflection is important. Like, I really, not to get all, like, philosophical, but reflecting and, like, even something little that I've tried to do is, you're in line to get coffee. Don't get your phone out. Just stand there. Just stand there for a second. Just, like, it's okay. You know, stand there, be in the moment, think. Like, that's one thing that I enjoy about listening to podcasts is they get me to think. I hope maybe people that are listening to this have heard some of the questions I've asked you and they've started to reflect a little bit, because you got to, I mean, to kind of know who you are, what makes you tick, where you want to go, how you need to get there. You can't do any of that if you don't know yourself, or at least try to think about yourself a little bit in an introspective manner.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's so cliche to say put down the phone, but that's a huge part of it.
Man.
It's such a, like, and you think about being there in silence. Like, how often am I in the car where it's silent? Probably very minimal. Like, yeah. I need to have, it's either music, or I need to listen to a podcast, or my kids are in the backseat talking, or they're watching a movie in the van. Like, whatever it is, you rarely are sitting in silence. You got to have those quiet times.
Totally.
And that's, you know, just to catch your breath, because life will wear you down. And, you know, going back to our show, I think that was what made it so good, is life can be so difficult, but you just try and give an escape for people. And sometimes you need something to listen to get that escape. But more often than not, you just need to sit.
Do it yourself. And that's it. You bring up, and this will bridge us into our season predictions here, but you bring up, like, I asked Kevin the other day what made Unsportsmanlike Conduct work. And he made a good point of, like, so many other things. It's the circumstances around the show. I think one of the things that made Schick and Nick work was it was a really volatile, emotional sports time. Bo was volatile. Like, there was always some sort of emotion going on every game, every press conference, seemingly. Nebraska's going from the Big 12 to the Big 10. It was all these really emotional things, and I feel like we were almost like a comedic relief, you know, instead of just pouring gasoline on the fire of the intensity of the moment. We were more water, or the extinguisher of it. Like, everybody just calm down and laugh at this. You know what I mean? Like, that's
a good point.
I think that's what kind of made it work.
We were not the show to get people riled up.
No.
And then when it happened, that's when we were like, whoa, Gary, you clown. Like, you know, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, we were the show that the only thing I'll disagree with is that we were not terribly dependent on our surroundings.
Yeah, you're right.
But it helped us start.
Yeah.
Right? It helped us launch the show with Bo and with Sue and with Taylor Martinez and the drops and all those things. Like, those helped. But eventually it got to the point where nothing could be going on and we would make
some of our best shows were in the summer, literally, like when nothing was happening, literally nothing was happening. Sometimes they're like, when there was a big story, you were like, oh God, like, I don't want to talk about a real story.
Right. Like, we were almost a parody of sports talk radio to a point, but we would explore the space where, you're right. Like, it's okay. Do we want to just talk about, oh, how about that running back situation, or what's going to, you know, who deserves black shirts? Or should we get a bomb defusing robot, send him in there to the New Weekly News Conference and ask Bo Pelini, when is he going to hand out the black shirts? And ask a series of questions that everyone wants to ask.
Yes.
Everyone's afraid.
Never
to,
would.
He's afraid he's going to eat you alive. So
right.
Just how do you have a different take on certain things?
So with Nebraska, you always have the line that I think about, you know, as the season gets closer, you either grow more confident or you start to get more worried. This is classic living in the state of Nebraska, week of the game. I am starting to, I've been reluctant to chug the Kool-Aid. I don't want to make it sound like Barrett raved about the team, but, and you listen to Barrett, could you feel that there was almost a quiet confidence with Barrett about this season? Like, even the answer to my last question to him was, complete this sentence, Nebraska will have a good season if, and he kind of sat there and then said, I think Nebraska will have a good season. There is no if. I feel like I'm starting to chug the Kool-Aid. You were one of the first people to present Kool-Aid to people at the end of last year. I guess now that we're into game week, where are you at with, have you not budged? Are you staying where you are with Nebraska?
Yeah, I'm probably more confident than I was. I think the only hesitancy is the fact that the division is pretty crowded. a little more crowded at the end of last season than I thought it would be coming into this season. But after they beat Michigan State, I tweeted that they'd win the West this year. And that was just what they won that game 9-6. They wound up losing to Iowa, but I never moved off of that simply because, like you've said before, you have the coach, you have the quarterback, and the schedule is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that when you know, I'll give you an example. We had our college football meetings for ESPN, where all the folks that are doing either studio or radio for college football or play by play and color. Those who write about it are there gathered here, and we had it in Charlotte this year. And Dan Orlovsky one night, I guess, when we were having like a social hour, was very pro-Nebraska. And one of our bosses got up there the next day at our meeting, at our big gathering time, with hundreds of people in the room, said, hey, by the way, Dan Orlovsky was taking bets with the over for Nebraska. He thinks they're hitting the over. And I won't tell you exactly how that conversation went, but okay. As they went through the schedule and Dan kept going, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win, he kept getting, like, there was a lot of laughing in the room.
Right.
And Dan picks him going 10-2, and there's laughter, right? There's laughter. It kind of that mob, like, one person laughs and a lot of people are like, oh, you think they're, you know, like, someone asked, like, you know, Ohio State, who has the better quarterback? And Dan asked that. And then I think it was Bob Wischusen who was sitting next to him said, whoever's the quarterback for Ohio State is the better quarterback. And that's a really good line.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, usually that's true.
Doesn't matter who it is. But that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I think I've been dead set that the floor for this season is 8-4. I think that is the floor for this season. That's the kind of like the almost the starting point. And if you get there, that means you didn't really screw anything up. I've said this before to people here who talk college football. It's how many games of Nebraska did you really watch last year? I would venture to guess that a lot of the national folks who cover it didn't have time to spend time on a team that had no shot at making the playoff, let alone win its division.
Right.
Right. You start 0-2, you start 0-4, you start 0-6. How much Nebraska are you watching? You can look at the numbers and go, oh, the last six games, they averaged 35 points a game. Okay, that's fine. But what are you really watching outside of the Iowa game that was on national TV and everyone was watching? So if you watched last season, it was three things. One, they outgained Colorado by 300 yards and lost the game. On the ground,
yep.
They outgained them by 300 yards and lost the game because of the turnovers. They lost to Northwestern, 10-point advantage in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes. They lost to Troy because they didn't have Adrian Martinez. The baseline last season was 7-5. You look at last season, that should have been a 7-5 season. So if that's my belief, then I go from that and I go, okay, now give them a win improvement because it's year two. And then you start winning some of those 50-50 games.
Right.
And so I think it's 9-3 with a chance to go 10-2 if things like last year don't happen this year.
Right.
And so I'm between 9-3, 10-2, but I'm going to stay at 9-3. They might lose to Ohio State. Likely they will. But that's the kind of game, like if you win Ohio State, your ceiling, you know, your floor turns into 10-2 pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's because you bring up all those tangible things of like they outgain this and they 10-point that. But like, I also think, and it was always hard to get a sense of how much is this being embellished? How much is it not? Like, I think all of the anecdotes of a broken culture, the weight room issues, these guys were not strong enough. They were not in shape. Like, so think about all the things that came up that caused some of those issues last year that maybe we didn't even get to see or know about, that Barrett even talked about a little bit. Now all those things are improved, let alone all the tangible stuff in the game.
Think about, they should have been 7-5 within year one of a broken system.
Of all the disasters that they had.
Like Scott Frost doesn't mince words about how tough it was last year and about how, you know, guys coming up to him saying, hey, these guys aren't buying in. We're not going to let this happen. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on there. So I think the record is as misleading. When people go, oh, how can you, a 4-8 team that you think could win the division? Like, you weren't watching it. If that's the take, because the records are different, schedules are different. And if you actually paid attention, you would realize that, look, if you, if an 0-6 team, if a team is 0-6, is still buying in more,
mm-hmm.
including seniors that are going to be out the door, that tells you something. Like, yeah. you can buy in if you're 6-0.
Right,
like,
it's easy.
You know, it's yeah. easy to buy in. But you're starting 0-6, and then you play better
right.
after that down the stretch. Something's happening there that really illustrates it. And it, obviously, Martinez is a huge
sure,
part of that.
But there's more to it than that.
But there's got to be deeper than that. And you talk about the defense and how that will only get better. So it just, you know, I would be very surprised if they were worse than 8-4.
Right.
I would be. I'm not even talking surprised about not missing a bowl. I know Kevin said about missing a bowl. I know Kevin said that. I'd be shocked if they were worse than 7-5. Like, right. that to me would be shocking and surprised if they were worse than 8-4.
Let's dive into it real quick, Nick Bull. Let's go. Okay, so South Alabama. By the way, I saw there's thunderstorms in the forecast right now. People are like, oh, dear God, no, not again, for the love of
so good.
Oh, it's not so good. I mean, South Alabama is horrendous. I mean, that's a dub.
That's a loss for Nebraska.
That's great. I would be shocked if they don't go 10-2. All right, South Alabama.
I was really hoping you would get to South Alabama so much quicker because I tried to juxtapose the two.
Oh, God. Like, dang, team, I blew it for you.
If they go worse than 8-4, I'm going to be really shocked. Lost to South Alabama.
Oh, this team's really good. All right, South Alabama. Lost. That's what it is. Oh, man. Okay, so South Alabama, dub. You're a biased Buffaloes bastard. So at Colorado, I'm going win, although I think that is, man, that's a huge game for, you talk about the Ohio State yeah. game. To me, it's yeah. this is the game. Like, I think this game shapes the season yeah. in a lot of ways. So I'm going
I
dub.
I agree. No, yeah. I agree. And when you think about important non-conference games for the conference,
yeah.
you know, you can go Michigan, Notre Dame. That's an obvious statement. Northwestern, Stanford's important just for, you know, perception of the West and all that. That's
nerds,
great. Wisconsin's
got to
be
South
Florida.
It's a nerd battle. It's a big nerd battle.
But, right, but think about the momentum that Nebraska has built up in the offseason mm-hmm. without playing a game. If you go into Boulder and you lose that game to a team that has had, what, one winning record over the last 10 years and year one of Mel Tucker – that can really let a lot of the
totally.
Air out of the balloon.
Totally.
And that really puts pressure on beating Ohio State. So I'd say it's a win simply because of the metrics that and the numbers that I cited from last year that I just think as long as they protect the football,
right.
I think they'll win that game. Yeah.
Okay, Northern Illinois, win. I know they came into Nebraska a couple
so.
Years ago. Jeez, Homer podcast here. Going to beat Northern Illinois. Not dub. I don't really know. Did they? I mean, they did come to Nebraska and win a couple years ago, but I mean, there's some dude named Mike Riley as a coach then, so I'm going dub. You got a dub?
Yeah, is that Rod? Is that Rod Carey? Is he the head coach there?
Jim Carey. Jim Carey.
His name's Jim Carey?
You want to run the ball? All righty then.
you know what he'd say? Sorry. Deep pass, we're going down. So stupid.
That punt was smoking!
Jim Carrey, the head coach of Northern Illinois.
What are the odds that a team like us converts this 4th and 15?
It's
probably
not
like
right.
one in a million. So you're telling me there's a chance. So Jim Carrey's Northern Illinois team.
The bad thing is it's a Thomas Hammack, like Rod Carey was.
We're not even close. What's his name? You said his last name's Hammack?
Thomas Hammack.
Like what you would lay in at the beach? The jokes write themselves for that.
Wait. You don't lay in a hammock at the beach? I got a beach lined with hammocks?
But what would be the place to lay in a hammock? In the forest?
Your backyard.
I didn't know I was talking to a hammock stickler. All right. we're 3 games in, and we are already lost our minds here. Man, okay, Thomas Hammack. Oh,
I can't believe I forgot Rod Carey went to Temple, and I apologize to everyone in the American
Jim
Carey.
Jim Carey went to Temple. Jim Carey's now at Temple. All right. Okay, game number four at Illinois. They had a top 10 rushing, like, I mean, they're not a good football team, but they can run the ball. I mean,
I love the analysis you just provided here. They had a top rushing.
Well, I mean, come on, Doug. I mean, you big into Illinois these days?
Here's
Lovey's
what I'll
got
say
a
about
beard,
Illinois.
Bro.
That's great analysis. Here's what I would say about Illinois. Illinois is going to get somebody this year. They're going to get somebody this year.
Game has a trappy feel to it with Ohio State.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Like, that is a, you know, when you look at what Illinois has leading up to that game, like, they could be unbeaten fairly easily going into that game. And then that game turns into, you know, what Nebraska hopes the Ohio State game is, like a huge game. So Illinois should beat Akron, Connecticut, and then Eastern Michigan. They got Brandon Peters at quarterback. They've got UCLA.
Reggie Corbin.
Reggie Corbin. Josh Imadobebe, who is a USC grad transfer. They got Reggie Pettibon on the offensive line. He's an Alabama transfer. Like, they're turning into Transfer U. All that being said, it's a win for Nebraska.
But that game's trappy.
I would be very, very careful of that game. Like, if
didn't they play Penn State tough for three quarters last year? Does that
they did
right? When
they
at the
did.
End of the third
they
quarter,
did.
It was like
they did,
what
and,
is
then,
happening?
And then Penn State kind of polished it off.
Yeah, the final score was like, 40. Like they murdered him in the fourth quarter, and then might have been just the first half where it was close. I want to say Penn State was up or either tied or something.
Yeah, it was tight. We're giving a good analysis about that game right now. But, Nebraska will beat Illinois, but just be careful. Just be careful.
All right, are you ready for the next game? Ohio State,
yes.
September 28th, Lincoln, Nebraska. Nebraska will beat Ohio State. That's right, I said it. This is Ryan Day's first real road game, new quarterback, first real legit tough environment. I think the way Ohio State plays, Nebraska has a harder time with like teams that want to line it up and run it right at them and all those. Like, if this sounds ridiculous, but you think about last year, that Nebraska outplayed Ohio State. They lost, but they were the better team that day in Columbus. I think Nebraska gonna beat Ohio State.
I never felt Urban Meyer was a great motivator against teams they should beat. He was always great about, okay, backs against the wall. Yeah, let's go get Michigan. We're an underdog. you know, like he was good with that. So I'm interested to see how Ryan Day handles all of this.
Right.
Because Ohio State's defense was atrocious last year. You got a top five pick in Chase Young on the defensive line. You've got guys like recruiting class rankings matter. We talk about that all the time. Nebraska is out talented in that game. And because they are, if it were like week two, I'd say Nebraska, since it's a little deeper into the season, I'll say Ohio State.
How dare you?
Simply because beating Ohio State means you're like way ahead of schedule. And I don't think Nebraska's there yet, but if they won that game, would it shock me? No. So I'm hedging eight ways to Sunday, but Ohio
State. But you're going to say Ohio State loss.
Ohio State is a loss.
Gonna lose.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Northwestern the following week. At some point, all these, even the 2017 year, Riley's last year, that was another game. They had to try to lose that game, and they did, and they lost that game. I think Nebraska is going to finally win that game.
I'm hoping by that week, Pat Fitzgerald will have settled on a starting quarterback. because it's like a Hunter Johnson or TJ Green right now. It's trotting out against Stanford. I'll say Nebraska wins that game again. They better win that game.
Yeah.
So at that point, they're 5-1.
So I got them undefeated, and everybody's like just drunk and
you're
celebrating.
Such a hater. Yeah. You've always been a hater.
I'm a big Husker hater. I got them undefeated, but now it's at Minnesota. These are the games where Nebraska is still trying to find that. I think Nebraska's going to lose at Minnesota. I don't think they're a great team, but they finished the season really strong. I think PJ Fleck he's got something going. I don't think he's got a juggernaut building over there. I don't love their quarterback situation at all. But they have some talent at the skill spot. I think Nebraska can go to Minneapolis and lose.
I think they'll go to Minnesota and win. But it's one of those things, like, they're going to either lose to Minnesota or Purdue. Like, I'll peg one of those two. I'm not entirely sure which one, but I'll say they go to Minnesota and win that game.
And then after that, it's going to be a cue up Kathy. Enjoy your bye.
Enjoy your bye.
All right.
Enjoy
thanks,
your
kid.
Bye. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
For people who don't know, Kathy called up Bo Pelini on the Colin show and told him to enjoy his
Sports
bye.
Nightly.
Unbelievable.
We put that on a loop.
Enjoy your bye. Right. Enjoy your bye. Has anyone ever said that's such a weird phrase? Enjoy your bye.
Okay. Enjoy your
so
bye.
So good, right?
Okay. Thank you. All
so right. then Hang Nebraska up, enjoys their bye. Then Indiana comes to town. I'm going to say that's a dub. The Hoosiers.
There's no more unfortunate name in college football than Michael Penix Jr. he's the starting quarterback for Indiana. If you can fight through that and get through, that means he's a tough kid.
Yeah.
It was an interesting pick, him over Peyton Ramsey to start for Tom Allen. But I will say Nebraska gets that dub. And then I will say they lose at Purdue in a very tight 6-point, 3-point field goal game.
I think it's a dogfight. I'm with you. I got them losing at Purdue. Jeff Brohm, Rondell Moore. I think that's one of those classic just dogfight games. Purdue wins. Then we have another Kathy, enjoy your bye after that. And then Wisconsin comes to Lincoln. I think Nebraska is going to beat Wisconsin. I got that as a win.
Trying to see where Wisconsin is in that schedule. Let's see, who do they got before? They've got Iowa the week before.
Yeah, so bloodbath.com.
Bloodbath.com is the website to log on to. Nebraska will be. So they're off.
I love
so
you.
Off
you're off. The only one that will. You respond to my websites that aren't real and just go with them. So thank you for that. But continue.
It started with howdareye.com. It started with that. That was.
Hey, by the way, can I side note real quick? Remember, Ray Ray's got a jump shot. Ray Ray. I've realized I sing a song to Mava to a tune, and I'm like, where did they get this tune? I would always go, hey, Mava, do you need to go pee-pee in the potty? Pee-pee in the potty? Pee-pee in the... And I'm like, where did I get that melt? I'm like, oh, Ray Ray's got a jump shot. But,
was that for Ray Allen?
Yes, Ray Allen. Ray Ray's got a jump shot.
No one ever.
And here's
Ray
that
Ray,
hit song from Nick Ba from 2010, all the way from Omaha, Nebraska. It's Ray Ray's got a jump shot. I'm Casey Kasem.
He's sending this one to his friend Ray Allen. This one goes long distance
to Ray Allen. Okay, continue. What were we talking about?
All right, so
Wisconsin.
They'll beat Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Wisconsin. Yeah. I think they go to Maryland and lose.
Yeah. That's...
And then they beat Iowa at home. And that could be reversed. That could be reversed because, Iowa will be fresh off a win over Illinois. But I'm that's kind of how I peg it. I peg it 9-3. But could they go to Purdue and win? Could they finish 10-2? Absolutely. Could they finish 7-5? Absolutely not.
I got them beating Maryland and losing to Iowa. You and I both 9-3, arriving at different spots. So, well, we did it, Matt. We did it. We are like almost 91 minutes into this thing. So,
it's the least shocking thing. Interviews every Friday would go 45 minutes. Yeah. It's
imagine
no shock this.
We'd be 30 minutes into unsportsmanlike conduct if we would have stayed in it, if we were still on the radio right now. It'd be ridiculous. Well, perfect, my friend. This was fun. I can see your face. I can look at you. This is like we hung out. I can see your face. I did see your door. The door opened at one point. I think it was Kel Bell being like, you serious, Doug?
Kelly walked in. She just sent me a text and said, are you almost done? which is so
I could tell you started being like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say the next game, too. Like, you started to, like, expedite this. You're like, yeah, then Purdue, then Purdue, Wisconsin. I'm like, all right, homeboy wants to leave.
Doesn't matter if I'm doing a podcast or in the restroom. I get the same text.
All right, perfect way to wrap it up. Matt Schick, love you, my friend. Thank you. I'm bowing to you on via Skype right now.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Good luck with this podcast, and I hope this isn't your final one. It's been a big part of my life ever since you started.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, buddy.
See you later.
A Parkville Media Production.